Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? Now in chapter 8 here, Solomon's writing about wisdom and understanding. He kind of personifies it, gives it a voice, gives it a character. Kind of like a person walking around, and he says, if wisdom had a voice, if wisdom does have a voice, but he says, if wisdom standing in the gates crying, calling out to men, and it has a few things to say, if we'll listen to it. So it says, doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. I'm glad you don't have to be born wise in order to get wisdom. Wisdom standing in the gate saying, hey, you foolish men. Look right here. Learn something. Got something to show you. Got something to tell you. Thank God that the Lord inclines His ears to fools. Now, He inclines His ear to the repentant voice of the fool. The Lord let a fool go on in his foolishness if he wants to. But once that fool begins to call upon the Lord, He'll incline His ear to him, and He'll take a foolish man, and He'll give him some wisdom and give him some understanding. He says in verse 5, O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. I'm glad though the Bible talks about taking out that stony heart and giving you a good heart, giving you a clean heart, giving you a right heart. The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. That's where wisdom and understanding comes from. O ye simple, that's me, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Some things are an offense against wisdom. Some things are an offense against understanding. It says, wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Let me say right there, a Christian who has any wisdom, who has any understanding right now, put away wicked things out of his lips. God gives you a new heart, He gives you a new mouth, He gives you a new voice. And you can't say the things you used to say. You can't think. You can't even think about the things you used to think about. The thought of foolishness comes through your mind, you ought to put it far from you. Don't get used to going back and wallowing in the mire. The Bible says over in the New Testament, it said that old sow is returned to her wallowing in the mire. That old dog is returned to its vomit, and the sow to her wallowing in the mire. You ought not go back to the old things. God saved you out of that uncleanliness. God saved you out of that filthiness. God saved you, and He gave you a new heart, gave you a new understanding, gave you a new will, gave you a new heart, gave you new aims, gave you new goals. You ought to press for those things. Old Paul said, I press toward the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. We ought not be satisfied once we're saved just to live the old life, to love the same things, to go after the same desires. There ought to be a change there. There ought to be a change. He said, for my mouth shall speak, and shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. I think about old Job when I think about that. The Bible said that he eschewed evil. He leaned away from it. He stayed away from it. That word eschewed, it means he stayed away from it. He avoided it. He separated himself from it. But that word simply means and truly means he leaned away from it. That's what the Bible says we ought to do to unholy things, to unrighteous things. It said it ought to be an abomination to us. When the children of Israel went down into Egypt, the Pharaoh told Joseph, he said they could have this piece of land over here, and Joseph instructed his family there. He said, when you go around these Egyptians, he said, you tell them you're herdsmen. Because a shepherd's an abomination to an Egyptian. Said, you don't tell him. And I kind of like old Jacob. Jacob got down there. Jacob went down there, and his son done instructed him how to get along. Old Joseph said, Dad, if you want to get along, you're going to have to tell these men you're a herdsman. Don't tell them you're a shepherd. A shepherd's an abomination. Old Jacob went in there before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and said, what do you do? He said, I'm a shepherd. He said, I'm a shepherd. He wasn't ashamed of who he was. If a shepherd was an abomination to an Egyptian,
What did that matter to Jacob? God made him a shepherd. God made him a shepherd. But those Egyptians, they didn't like shepherds. It was something that they wanted to be separated from.
But he said it was an abomination to them. He says, my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Some things ought to be an abomination to you. Some things you ought to just stand up and stand up against and just do it no matter who cares, no matter who takes a stand against you, no matter who stands up against you and tells you you're wrong. You ought to just stand up for some things. Stand up for what's right. Stand up for what's right. It ain't going to hurt. We need some men with some backbone that'll stand up for what's right. That might even be a good thing for a message. I might just preach a different message to you tonight. Just stand up for what's right. Somebody don't like it? Well, I tell you what, you ain't got a glory in hurting somebody's feelings either, but you can just go ahead and stand up for what's right and know that the Lord is proud of it. The Lord is glad of it. And let me say this, I'm preaching on pride tonight. You know, there is a good kind of pride. Did you know that? The Bible says only by pride cometh contention. Only by... You can't get in a fight contention. You can't get in a fuss unless you're proud. The Bible says over in Jude, there's only one chapter, so Jude chapter 1. It says, he said, I'm going to talk to you about the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And he said, I'm going to charge you that you earnestly contend for the faith. If you're going to contend for the faith, only by pride come with contention, you're going to have to be proud of it. I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I'm proud of my Bible.
Yes, amen.
I'm proud of my church. I'm proud of the people that I go to church with. You say, you're proud of people? You got confidence in people? I sure do. I sure do. I sure do. In the Lord.
Amen.
In the Lord. The Bible says the flesh profiteth nothing. And the Bible says we put no confidence in the flesh. But I tell you what, if you're born again sitting here tonight, you got a Holy Spirit down deep in your heart who can empower you and enable you to do all things through Christ. I got some confidence in that. Got some confidence in that. I'm proud to be a Christian. Say, well, I don't like that. I don't think that sounds right. Well, fully on you. I don't think a lot of that rock that comes out of your car, a lot of that stuff that comes across your television into your living room, I don't like a bunch of that.
Yeah, right.
Verse number 7, for my mouth shall speak... I didn't mean to get off preaching there. Verse 7, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. Boy, I wish there was some men that could say that. Now, this is wisdom talking. This is wisdom talking here, you understand. Wisdom can boast of some things because true wisdom comes from God Himself. And but there's not many men that can say all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. Suppose I got up tonight and I said every word I said this week was in righteousness. I didn't say nothing wrong. I didn't think nothing wrong. I didn't do nothing wrong. I didn't look at nothing wrong. I mean, if we could just look up and say everything that I ever done was all in righteousness. Boy, you could be saying a mouthful then, wouldn't you? Let me say, you may not ever be able to say that, but you can sure aspire to it.
That's right.
Yes. You can do your very best. I'm tired of these measly, little weasly little Christians that, oh, we're just all sinners, and we may as well just rest in that fact. We may as well just resign ourselves to living failure for the rest of our life. I don't want to live like that. I don't even want nothing akin to that. If God give me the power to do better and be better and act better and walk better and speak better and read better and pray better, that's exactly what I want to do. I might not be able to be perfect and I might not be able to do everything right, but I want to be found trying at the end of the day.
Amen.
I want to be found trying. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. Boy, that's something to aspire to, ain't it? I'm tired of people just giving up. Amen. We may as well just go ahead and put up with it. The devil's going to whoop us all the days of our life. He may whoop you once in a while. But get up and start swinging again. Get up and repent and start praying again. Start reading again. Do what you ought to do. Sink or swim. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing froward or perverse in them. That's a good way to live. It's a good way to talk. Verse 9, they are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Here's another verse like we read this morning. For wisdom is better than rubies. For wisdom is better than rubies. And all things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. There ain't nothing on this earth like wisdom. I'm talking about godly wisdom. I don't know about you. I spent a little bit of time in high school and I learned a few things.
I don't know a whole lot of things, but I know a few things. I got a bunch of books in there. I got some on math and some on history. I got some books on philosophy. I got some books on all kinds of different things. And I've learned a few things, but there ain't nothing ever been so wonderful and so good as the things that come out of this book right here. I mean, you can learn about philosophy, and you can learn about politics, and you can learn about religion, and you can learn about a whole lot of different things, but the wisdom that comes from the Bible, the wisdom that comes from God, is not to be compared to. The Bible says the wisdom that is from above is both pure and then peaceable. Pure and peaceable. Wouldn't you like some of that down at your house? Something pure.
Amen.
Something peaceable. I mean, a lot of times we get in our homes and a lot the this trouble and that trial and this thing will come up and it'll kind of pollute the house a little bit. Some sure enough pollution, some things that'll tear some things apart, some things that'll bring you down, some things that'll dirty up your mind and get you off a long ways from what's right, from what's wise, from what's true. He says, they are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. They roommates. Wisdom dwells with prudence. Wisdom lives with prudence.
Amen.
Wisdom teaches you how to live right. Did you know these people that trying to live right and trying to find a better way? You just stay up past 12 o'clock one night and turn on the television, you'll see all these men on there trying to teach you how to get rich quick and sell this and sell that and become rich, become a millionaire. And I tell you how to, I may not be able to tell you how to be a millionaire, but I can tell you how to live a good life. Just add a little prudence. Do the right thing. Listen, I don't know what Webster says about prudence, but I know what I say about prudence. Prudence is doing the right thing at the right time. Prudence is doing the right thing at the right time. And if you'll do the right thing at the right time, you'll always be okay. Never put off to tomorrow what you can do today. That's prudence. And it dwells with wisdom. I tell you, if you want to live a good life, you ain't got to go out here and find out what Dr. Spock has to say about living right and influencing people. All you got to do is get in the Bible and have God give you a wise heart. I don't know about you. A lot of people wonder, how can I be wise? How can I be wise? I'll tell you how the wisest man in the world got wise. He prayed for it.
Amen.
He didn't go to college. He didn't get a PhD. He didn't send off for a correspondence course. He got down on his knees and started praying. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. That's how he got wise. That's how he got wise. God give it to him. If you're going to get the right kind of wisdom, God's going to give it to you. You ain't going to get it. Wisdom dwells with prudence. It's better than rubies. There ain't nothing on this earth that can be compared to it. Verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Here's my text. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth. Boy, if I had to preach on all of them at one time, we'd be here all night. But we ain't going to preach on them all at one time. We're going to just preach on the one, pride. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. How many of you looking for strength? How many of you run out of strength? How many of us run out of strength? How many of us find ourselves okay on Sunday after church? Oh yeah, that was good preaching. That was some good singing right there. I believe I'll be able to make it through the week now. We go home and we pray on Sunday night. We get up, we pray on Monday morning. We come home after work and pray on Monday night. But about Tuesday morning, I know I need to pray, but I tell you, I got so many other things to do. You say, what's going on? You're running out of strength. What you need is the strength to do. I'll tell you where the strength is. The strength is in understanding. The strength is in godly wisdom. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Listen at verse 17, talking about wisdom. Talking about understanding. It says, I love them that love me. Kind of sounds like the Lord talking, don't it? I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me.
Yeah.
They that seek me early shall find me. Let me say this and we'll pray. The chief thing that'll keep us from wisdom is pride. Pride will cut off wisdom. Pride will. You may be smart. You may have the greatest brain in the world. Pride will cut off your ability to use knowledge. Pride will cut off your ability to use wisdom. Especially when we're talking about the wisdom that comes from God only. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Do you want wisdom? Do you want prudence? Do you want understanding? Wisdom. Look back up in verse number 13. It says, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Wisdom. Listen, wisdom hates pride. Wisdom hates it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for the reading of your word. And I went kind of a long ways around about reading it, but God, I thank you for the Bible. I thank you for God's word. I thank you, dear God, for wisdom, dear God, that no college can teach, but only the Holy Spirit can give. And I pray, dear God, you'd help us as a church, not me as a pastor, not Brother Curtis just as the deacon, not just Brother Nathan as an associate pastor, dear God, but I pray you'd help us as a church, dear God. Give us wisdom. Give us as a church understanding. Give us a desire, dear God, to associate. Give us a power, dear God, and give us the ability, dear God, to fellowship with you and to use godly wisdom and to godly understanding. And to this end, God, I pray you'd help us to root out pride out of our lives. God, you said wisdom hates pride. And Lord, if we're going to have wisdom, we're going to have to get rid of the pride that dwells in every person in this building. God, help us to that end. And I thank you, dear God, for what you do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Now I want you to turn over and look in verse number 6, or chapter number 6. You probably don't even have to turn. If your Bible's like mine, you can just look over on the other page. Your Bible might not be like mine, but Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16. Not only does wisdom hate pride, but let's see what the Bible says right here in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. How many of you know what this is before you look at it? Oh, this is what the world calls the seven deadly sins. That's what they call it. That's what they call it. The Bible just plainly says people don't like to call nothing what God likes to call it. They like to say God is love, but they don't like to admit that God hates anything. They call it seven deadly sins, and true that is. It is true. They're deadly. They'll kill you. They'll murder you. These things will murder you. But God didn't say they were deadly sins. He said these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven, is an abomination unto Him. There's that word abomination again. God thinks some things are an abomination. God thinks some things are worth staying away from. But look what He says in verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. Look at the very first one right at the top of the list. The very biggest thing on the list. The very number one. That's for the folks that like to listen to the top 40 every week. Number one bestseller of the week this week is a proud look.
Amen.
God hates it. He don't just dislike it. A lot of people talk about the long suffering. I believe these six things right here is things that God don't even put up with very much. I'll show you scripture for that in just a minute. One of the surest ways to get God to clip you is to have a proud look. I mean, one of the surest ways to get God to bring judgment down on your head. And don't get me wrong. God is a merciful God. And God is a great God. And God's plentiful in mercy. And there ain't nobody, I don't think, that appreciates that more than me. I thank God for His mercy. I thank God for His grace because I need it. I need it every hour.
Yes.
But I tell you what. If you want to get God to bring judgment on your head, I tell you what you acquire. You acquire yourself a proud look. That'll get God's attention real quick, I guarantee you. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look, number one. Proud look, a proud look. Not only does wisdom hate pride, but God hates pride. God hates pride. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 16. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 16. Oh, this is a good chapter. If you got the mind to memorize things, you ought to memorize some things out of this chapter right here. Look what it says in verse 1. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Now look at verse 2. All the ways of man... Here's a proud man right here. Here's a proud man. You say which one of them? Which man is it? All of them. You say, what about you, Brother Mike? Me too. This is me. Verse number 2 is Brother Mike Easter. Now listen, until you can get to the point where you can take that big old thumb, pull it out of your mouth, and point it at yourself, me... Me, me, me. Listen, until you can take your finger and point it at yourself, you're not going to amount to a hill of beans as a Christian.
Amen.
You may carry your Bible every week. You may pray. You may do a lot of things. But listen, we are going to have to get to the point in our lives where we can point our finger at ourselves and say, it's not my mother or my sister or my brother, but it's me. Me, me, me. Take responsibility for yourself, because yourself is the only one that's going to be standing at the judgment seat. Just you. Just you. Just you. Mama can't stand with you. Daddy can't stand with you. Uncle can't stand with you. Preacher can't stand with you. Just you are going to be able to stand with you. And I tell you what, verse 2 right here ought to be everyone of us ought to say, yes, Lord, that is me right there in the verse, and I repent of it. God help me of it. Look what he says. All the ways of man are clean. Don't you wish he would have put a period right there? Don't you wish he would have put a period right there and just left it that way? We could have put our big peacock feathers up in the air and walked around. Yeah, all the ways of man are clean. I'm right. I tell you what, when I get up in the morning, I smell good. My hair is exactly right. And I'm right. Whatever I think is right, whatever I want to do is... You know, we're heading for a situation like that. One of these days, God's going to take these old vile bodies and He's going to change it into something glorious and something wonderful. You'll be able to take a nap anytime you want to, and just as soon as you get up, you're not going to have to go check a mirror. You ain't going to have to put on no makeup, ladies. It's going to look just right. You're going to be able to walk around and think what you want to and do what you want to, and it's going to be right. Whatever comes into your mind is going to be right. But not yet. Not yet. We was talking about this morning in Sunday school, the redemption of the purchased possession. It ain't been redeemed yet. You still wake up with it and need your right guard and your left guard every morning. That's because this stuff ain't no good. If he would have said all the ways of man are clean, talking about pride, that'd have swelled our head up, wouldn't it? Oh yeah, I knew that, Lord. You didn't have to tell me that. That's the most time. Most of the time, that's the way we think, especially preachers. We get up and say, oh yeah, me and God, we're tight. I'm His right-hand man. He tells me everything. You know, that's the way most of us think. That's the way most of us think. I don't care if you're preachers or not. I know the way you are. I know what you think. I know how you think. I know how you act. I know, because I live in the same kind of flesh you do.
Yeah.
Let's just face it. We're going to have to get to the point where we agree with God. And He said all the ways of man. He didn't say which man. He said man, and that word man, not talking about Joe Schmo down on the street. That word man includes all of them. All the ways of man. He's talking about all of them.
Yeah.
He may as well just said Adam right there. We're all in Adam when we're born. All the ways of man, all the ways of man. I don't like the word mankind. I don't like the word human. I don't like those kinds of classifications. God didn't say human. God didn't say mankind. He just said man. Man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Which one? All of them. Okay. That's Bible doctrine right there. That's how you figure it out. All the ways of man is clean in his own eyes. Look at our own eyes. We look at the way we believe. We look at the way we think. We look at the way we act. We look at the way we pray. We look at the way we come to church. We look at the way we order our lives. We look at the things that we wear. We look at the way we fix our hair. We look at the way we drive to work. We look at the way we act at work. And we say, I'm doing it exactly right. And if you don't like it, you can look.
Come on. Yes, sir. Amen.
That's the way we think. All the ways of man is clean in his own eyes. And if it was just left up to me, and if I had to stand before myself in judgment, I could probably... Listen, I'm the world champion at justifying myself, and so are you.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I'm the world champion. I can justify myself just as good as any man alive. Sometimes me and you will sit down personal, one-on-one, we'll have a contest and see who can justify themselves the best. Well, I tell you what, I believe this way because of this. And I believe this way because of that, and I think this way because of this. And I tell you what, it'd be hard to decide who the champion was at the end of the day, because we're good at that sort of thing.
Amen.
We're good at justifying ourselves, are we not?
Amen.
All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. And he could have put a period right there, and we could have took some kind of satisfaction in it. But look what he says. But the Lord weigheth the spirits. If the Lord would just mind his own business, don't look at me like a bunch of knots on the law. That's the way we think most of the time.
Yeah.
You know, I've been living a good life, and I've been doing the right thing. I've been doing it exactly like I think it ought to be. But then one day the Lord showed up.
Amen.
And began to interject His 2 cents into it. That's where your life took a downturn right there. You was walking along, you might have been 5 years old or 6 years old or 16 years old or 66 years old or 600 years old for that matter. But one day the Lord showed up and He tried your spirit and things went. You were sitting up on a perch like a pretty little canary just singing your own song.
Yeah.
And the Lord come by and said, ugly. He looked at your life and He said, it's ugly. All the ways of man are plain in His own eyes. But He said, the Lord weigheth the spirit.
Amen.
The Lord put a king in the balance one time, didn't He? Weighed him out. Took His finger and wrote on the wall. And just the presence of His hand, the Bible says, the joints of His loins was loose. I tell you what, if God's hand comes out from nothing, begin to write on the wall, the Bible says His knees be. Yes, sir, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
When God shows up, you ever notice right before you got saved, God showed up in your life, things got scary?
Oh, yeah. Right.
I was just a little bitty old boy, and I know without a shadow of a doubt, I was just a little bitty old boy. And I heard the preacher preaching on hell, and I heard the preacher preaching on righteousness, and I heard the preacher preaching on the dead, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was scared to death. There had never been a boogeyman in any closet, anywhere on the face of this earth that scared me more than the fact that God was against me.
When God shows up in your life, right, the Bible says it makes the beauty to consume away. We all think we're beauty. We all think we're beautiful. We all think we live a beautiful life. Got that old movie out there on the television called A Beautiful Mind. I got news for you. There ain't but one beautiful mind in the universe. Doesn't belong to a man. Doesn't belong to a man. It says all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. The Lord got in there and mixed His 2 cents in it, and our beauty began to consume away. Did it not? Did it not?
Amen.
Maybe we ought to back up and preach on verse 2 again. We'll back up and hit it again. But the Lord gets in there and He makes you think. He makes you see. He makes you understand. God takes out and He said, if I can't convince you by my... Listen, all it took to make that fellow, when that king, when he saw the handwriting on the wall, he didn't understand it. He couldn't even read it. He didn't understand it. Did you understand the Bible the first time you read it? But I tell you what, he looked up there on the wall and saw that handwriting. He feared. Well, just a few minutes ago, he was drinking and hollering and carrying on and doing whatever he wanted to do, doing exactly what he was thought was right. But I tell you, the next thing you know, he's calling for a preacher. Hey, go get that prophet. Who in the world can show me what this means? He was scared to death.
Yes, ma'am.
He was scared to death. He wasn't thinking much about his crown or his wine or his women or his song then, was he? No, sir. Scared him to death. That's what it ought to do. The Lord begins to interject Himself into your life. He weighs the spirit. And you'll find out just as soon. Listen, this is important here. Just as soon as He begins to weigh your spirit out and find you wanting, the first thing you're going to realize is from the day you was born to the day you got saved, you was worshiping yourself as a god.
Come on. Amen.
You was worshiping yourself as a god. They talk about false gods and false idols. And I'll tell you what the Bible says about those false gods and those false idols. The Bible says they crafted them after their own image. They got hands. They got a mouth. They got ears. They got legs. Of course, they can't move. They can't hear. They can't walk. They can't do nothing. Sounds kind of like they worshiping themselves, don't they? You know what I can do? Nothing. You know what I can say that'll make a hill of beans? Nothing. That's exactly what a false idol can do. You're getting down on your knees worshiping a false idol. You're worshiping an image of yourself. And when you was born, subject to sin, when you was born, a child of the devil, when you was born, you was worshiping yourself. The first worship service you ever got in was a cry for food. Woo! You ever seen somebody do that in church? Stand up. They might be praising the Lord then, but when you was born, all that shouting and hollering was just so you could get a little bottle of milk. The Bible says they worship their bellies. It's starting to become real. I mean, you understand, when a man is lost, he's worshiping himself. Himself, what he thinks is right, what he does is right. You ever witness to somebody that's lost? I mean real lost. I'm not talking about you talk to a 5-year-old kid, a 6-year-old kid. Listen, I believe with my heart that's when you ought to get them. 5 or 6-year-old. Let whoever say what they will. I think that's when you ought to get them. Pin a little 5-year-old fella up in the corner saying, now look, Jesus Christ died for your sins. Get them then. Don't wait till they get up with a liquor bottle in their mouth and a cocaine straw in their left hand
and living like hell, don't wait till then. You might not get them then. Wait till a fellow's about 70 years old, provided for all of his needs, paid his own house bill, paid his own car bill, paid his own grocery bill for all of his life. What's he need anything like a God for? He's done worshiped himself for 70 years. You're not going to convince a 70-year-old man to get saved 9 times out of 10. He's already made his own provision. What can you tell him that he needs? How many 70-year-old men, let me ask you this, how many 70-year-old men you ever seen get saved? In my lifetime of witnessing to folk, I led one man to the Lord that was 68 years old. One. You know how many 12-year-old boys I led to the Lord? In the middle of my Bible, all of my Bibles, I try to keep any time the Lord lets me lead somebody to the Lord, I write their name down and their age and what year it was. And there's 15-year-olds and 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds and there's 10-year-olds and 12-year-olds and 12-year-old after 12-year-old after 15-year-old, and there's one man in there, 68. How can a man get so far out and so convinced of his own justification that he would look at a crucified and risen Savior and say, I don't want no parts of that? There ain't but one way. Proud of his own accomplishment. Proud of his own learning. Proud of his own understanding. I'm right, and I don't care what nobody says about it. That's a dangerous way to live, folks.
I say that's a dangerous way to live, folks. Pride will kill you. Pride is worse than any thief, any vagrant, any vagabond on the face of the earth. Slip in your wind at night and slit your throat. Pride will kill you. Kill your spiritual growth. But I thank God one day, I thank God when I was a young man, the Lord weighed my old spirit. He said, you've been weighed in the balances and found one. Ain't there something I can do about that? Ain't there something I can do about that? Ain't there a bomb in Gilead for me? Ain't there something for me? And the Lord said, yes, sir, there sure is. Don't y'all remember when you quit? Well, don't you remember when you were supposed to have quit serving yourself?
Yeah.
Don't you remember when God bought you from your former owner?
Yes.
The Bible says you are of your father the devil, the lust of your fathers you will do. Ain't you glad when the Lord paid out the price for you? People go buy an old horse or a nice cow or something like that. They look in the teeth. They look at them teeth, want to find out what condition they're in. They'll measure up how many hands. If it's an old cow or something, they're going to slaughter for beef. They'll make sure it don't look sick. Nobody wants to buy a sick cow or a sick hog or something like that to eat. They look for the very best, and they pay the price for it. If it's worth so much, you're going to pay so much. That's all there is to it. But you know, nobody ever goes down to the glue factory to try to find them a horse to pull the plow. Horses down to the glue factory for one reason. They ain't worth nothing. But I'm glad I got a Savior. Come down, look at me. Ain't no hope for this one. It's the glue factory for you, son.
Yes.
The Lord looked at me and found no worth, no value, no wisdom, no prudence, no understanding.
Yeah.
And He said, I'll take it.
Yes, God.
The Bible said, I'm bought with a price.
Yeah.
And since I'm bought with a price, I can't serve the old master no more. You've been bought. You've been paid for by a man. You don't go work for somebody else. You don't go worship somebody else. Listen, the Bible said He bought us with a price. We're not to worship the old master anymore. All the ways of man are clean in His own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Boy, that's a precious promise right there. That's a precious... Do you realize what that verse says? That verse says, if you'll just take the labor of your hands and say, Lord, you can have this. Lord, I'm just going to work for you. I'm just going to do what you tell me to do. I'm just going to do it. I'm not going to try to figure it out. I'm not going to try to analyze it. I'm not going to try to just make everything clear and perfect in my mind. I'm just going to commit my works to you first. Now, that ain't the way most people think. Most people think the better part of wisdom is to think first. And to work second. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you just get busy working. And the Lord will establish your thoughts. In other words, you'll get busy working, you'll get busy walking, and all of a sudden the Lord will say, you're walking the wrong way. Well, I didn't know that. Well, now you do. Well, I thought it was this way. Well, you thought wrong, son. Well, I thought it was supposed to be this way, Lord. Well, that's what you get for thinking when you ain't used to it. That's what He'll say. Ain't the Lord ever said that to you? The Lord said that to me all the time. Well, Lord, I thought it would be this way. Sorry, son, you don't get to make the rules. I hate that. I hate it when the Lord does that to me.
I get to going along doing things the way I think it ought to be done. I'm not doing it out of wickedness. I'm not doing it out of malice. I'm not doing it because I want to be king of the world. I'm just going along doing things the way I think it ought to be done. The Lord says, can I come in there and mess around a little bit? Can I show you the error of your ways a little bit? And listen, the thing that will cause you to break your neck right there is to be proud. Say, Lord, no, I don't need your instruction. No, sir. I've been doing this thing just fine myself. Pride will kill you spiritually. Yes. It'll kill you. It'll kill you. It'll keep you from getting smarter. It'll keep you from getting wiser. It'll keep you from getting more understanding. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Just say, Lord, I'll follow you. Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And just start walking and start doing. And the Lord will make things clear. If you've got a pure heart, if you've got a right heart, if you've got a sincere heart towards God, the Lord's going to establish your thoughts. I can tell you how many times I've sat and just marveled. Man, thank you. And just sit around and thank God for how He took something, some of my stupidity, and made it right, and changed my heart, and changed my mind, and set me on the right way. The Bible promises you that the Holy Spirit will be behind you when you're walking in the way, saying, this is the way, walk you in it. He said, don't turn to the left hand, don't turn to the right hand, just walk this way. God has promised that He'll lead you that way. A lot of us think we've got to have a PhD, or we've got to have some kind of doctorate of divinity before we can understand what the will of God is for us. We can't. All we've got to do is just get rid of the pride of our heart, the pride of our mind, the pride of our wisdom, the pride of our intellect, and let God lead us. Just commit our works to the Lord. Commit our works to the Lord. Did the Lord buy us? Don't He deserve to say so in our lives? Don't He deserve to be able to make up my mind for us? He deserves it. Verse number 4, the Lord hath made all things for Himself. Did you know we're not here for us? I don't want to sound uncaring. I don't want to sound like old callous and meany. I'm not trying to sound like that. But I said it the other day, we don't serve ourselves. We serve the Lord. We're not here for ourselves. We're here for the Lord. Now, when we come here for the Lord, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to be callous. God will meet our needs and take care of our needs. God will give us, the Bible says this, if you'll love Him, you'll follow Him. The Bible says He'll even give you the desires of your heart. You say, what does that mean, Brother Mike? Does that just mean the holy things? They don't say holy things. It says if you'll commit yourself to Him, you'll confess Him. If you'll follow Him, the Bible says He will give you the desires of your heart. You might desire a longer trailer to haul your stuff on. You might deserve a field full of cows. I don't know. You might desire a big old horse. You might desire a nice car. You might desire a nice house. You might desire a thousand one things. The Bible said if you please the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. He didn't say He'd fulfill your old lusts and stuff like that. But He said, now listen, if you got the Lord in your heart, and if you're trying to serve Him, you're not going to be desiring a bunch of filthy stuff to begin with. Did God make cattle? Did God make the wood to build houses? God invent the wood to build pretty tables and have pretty things in your home? Did God build all that stuff? Did God engineer it? Did God desire it? Well, there wouldn't be wrong with having it. David one time said, Lord, I'm going to build you a house. And the Lord said, that's what you think. The Lord said, I'm going to build you a house. The Lord don't mind building you a house, giving you fine children, fine things. The Lord don't mind doing that. But pride gets in the way of that sort of thing. Pride will make you think you deserve a Cadillac and not an old Ford. Lord, I didn't say the Lord wouldn't give you no Cadillac. Don't get mad at me. I didn't say the Lord wouldn't give you one. I said pride would make you think you deserve one.
God said He'd give you the desires of your heart, though, if you'd serve Him and follow Him. First thing you look around, God give you something wonderful, give you something good. Look what He says in verse 5, though. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. I wish we had time to talk about verse 5. We don't, though. United Nations, that's what they're doing right now. They're joined up hand in hand, all these nations trying to get together. But the Bible said, let them go ahead and join their hands up. Let them go ahead and get together and sing Kumbaya and all that stuff. And one of these days, God's going to come judge them. Hand joined in hand or not. They can get together or not. Put all their armies together or not. Put all their banks together or not. Join hand in hand if you want to, but the Bible says you'll not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. A divine sentence is in the lips of kings. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. Look in verse 18. Let's skip down to 18 and look at this verse and then we'll go home. Maybe one or two more verses. I don't know. Verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride goeth before destruction. Are you going to read that over and over, Brother Mike? Yes, sir. I want it to ring in your ears tonight when you get home. Pride goeth before destruction. Let me say something to you, and I hope you get this if you hadn't got nothing else tonight. When you begin to lift yourself up, when you begin to think, I deserve, I know, you're treading on the same ground that the devil trod on. You're treading on down the same path that the devil walked down, and your end is going to be the very same as his. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall.
Amen.
And let me say this, that goes doubly true for a Christian. Don't think that God is going to let a Christian walk very far in pride. Pride does not magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Pride magnifies self, and magnification of the self is the first sin of the devil. I will, he said, ascend above the throne of God. That's pride. I deserve better. I know better. Heading for a fall. You're heading for a fall. Pride stops growth. Pride hides your needs. Pride stops growth as a Christian. Pride hides your needs. If you think you're worthy, what need do you have? If you think you've arrived, how can I help you? If I need to take you from point B as a Christian and get you to point C and point D and point E and point F and whatever comes after that, if you got to get down the road as a Christian, how can you get there when you don't see the need, when you think everything's okay, when you think you're right about everything? How can you get there? Pride hides the need. Pride takes the needs in your life, the things that you need to get rid of, the things that you need to add, the things that you need to get cured, the things that need ointment, like we were talking about this morning, and it hides it and it says, you're okay. You're all right. Don't worry about it. A little bit won't hurt. A little more ain't going to hurt. Ain't going to hurt nothing. Just a few more days ain't going to make a difference. You don't need to pray. Don't worry about that. God will take care of that.
Pride goeth before destruction and the haughty spirit before fall. Pride stops growth. Pride hides the need. Pride convinces of self-worth. Pride convinces of self-worth. Pride points out the faults of others. Real or imagined. Did you know that some folks in this church got problems? Who don't know that? Who even cares about that? I know you got troubles. I can see. You know I got troubles. You can see, don't you? But old pride, he'll sneak up and say, look at that. Look at that. What about that? You'd never do nothing like that, would you? Oh, that's pride. That's pride. Oh, Brother Curtis, you're the deacon. Don't you see that? Don't you see what's going on over there? Better do something about that. That's pride. Pride will point out the faults of others, real or imagined.
Yes.
And sometimes we begin to look around, we begin to imagine things. I don't think he likes me very much. Pride will look up and say, he thinks you ain't worthy to talk to him. He don't like you very much. And besides, it's him that's not worthy. You're such a good fellow. You say, who's that talking? The devil? That's pride. That's your own heart. The devil don't need to bring you no pride. The devil don't need to get a wagon load of pride and bring it down to your house. You was born with enough of it. A lot of stuff is real. A lot of faults are real. A lot of faults are just imagined. We sit around worrying. Does he like me? I wonder what she's got against me. I bet she's talking about me. That's pride. You ain't worth talking about.
You're right.
Why do we think things like that if we don't think too highly of ourselves? It's pride. It's pride. Ain't nobody sitting around talking about you.
A lot of it's imagined.
That's right.
A lot of it's imagined. You say, where does it come from though? Pride. Talking about me. Let me say this, and I'm trying to get towards the end here. Towards the end. I don't want to lie to you and tell you I'm almost done. Getting towards the end. Listen. Pride without failure becomes bitterness.
Pride without failure becomes bitterness.
I told you this morning, I quoted you the verse of Scripture. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. You know what pride can be? It's a hope that I'm as good as I think I am.
Amen.
With girls, pride is, I hope I'm pretty as I think I am. With boys, it's, I hope I'm as strong as I think I am. That's what fights are all about. You get put in jail for terroristic threatening if you get in a fight. But when I was a boy, fellas got in fight. Why? Because they wanted to see who was the biggest man. I hope it's me. Because I don't want to come out on the losing side of it. You ever notice how quick a fella is to fight? Unless he thinks he'll get whooped. If a man, listen, if a man thinks he'll get whooped, he'll be the most accommodating fella you ever seen. Oh, yeah. Now, you take two fellas about the like size, me and this fella here, we might get in a fight. If we was lost and I wanted my way and you wanted your way, we about the same size. You might have a few pounds on me, but if it push comes to shove, me and you might fight. I might run my mouth to you out of pride, and you might run your mouth to me out of pride. But this right here is a different story, ain't it? You see what I mean? Pride will have you and me throwing fists at one another. Pride will have me asking him if I can bring him some lunch. Ain't there something I can do for you? That's the way it works. You say, why is it like that? Pride.
Listen, that's pride. Pride becomes bitterness. Man begin to look at himself and have a high expectation of himself and have a high opinion of himself. And just as soon as that opinion is shattered, he'll walk away like this. He'll be mad for the rest of his life. And if you bring up the name Johnson, I'll punch you in your mouth because he whooped me one time.
That's right. That's exactly right.
You let two old fellas get in a scrap, and it's just about even, and they both got blood coming out of their nose, and they both got a black eye, they'll walk off arm in arm. Boy, you sure do got a nice right. Yes, sir, you got a nice left. And they'll be happy with one another.
Right.
But you let a fella get totally devoured, totally whooped, you got yourself some bitterness coming. Because that fella was full of pride, and somebody served him up with a whoop. Now that's the same all across life. Pride. Show you how great you are, how good you are. Then when the devil busts that bubble on you and shows you your limitations, shows you your inadequacies, you'll walk off in bitterness. And then the devil's plan is fulfilled because the Bible says bitterness defiles many. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. If that hope is a prideful hope, you're heading down a road of bitterness.
Surely as I'm standing here, pride becomes bitterness and defiles many. Job chapter 41, let's look at one more verse. One more verse, I can begin to hear the call of Moses, let my people go. So, Job chapter 41 says, canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook? Now, if you got yourself a little study Bible, and one of them smart little PhDs wrote in your little study Bible, that might have a little letter beside of it, you follow that letter over to the index, it might tell you that's behemoth. It might tell you that's an alligator. Some of them say alligator. If that's an alligator, I hope we ain't got none out here in our river. Some of them might say that's a crocodile, or some of them might say that's something foolish like that. This Leviathan right here is spelled D-E-V-I-L. S-A-T-A-N, Satan. That's who this Leviathan is. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? You can't go fishing for this monster. Canst thou put a hook into his nose or bore his jaw through with a thorn? You know what that hook in his nose is? You know what that is? That hook in the nose, it's a symbol of a slave. A lot of people think they can take out the devil and make him his slave. Use the devil as a servant. I'm going to use the devil to get, people say, I'm going to sell my soul to the devil and I'll get him to do everything for me. That's what people say. But the devil not going to have no hole put in his nose. You're not going to make the servant of the devil. The devil make a servant of you. Canst thou put a hook into his nose or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? Wilt thou take him for a servant forever? Wilt thou play with him as with a bird? I'm sorry to say, some people will. If you're fooling with pride, you're fooling with the devil. You're playing with the devil. Verse number
5, wilt thou play with him as with a bird? Wilt thou bind him for thy maidens? Shall the companions make a banquet of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? Can thou fill his skin with barbed irons or his head with fish spears? Lay thine hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. You put your hopes in the devil, you got a vain hope. You got a hope that's about to be deferred. Your heart's about to get sick if you're playing with the devil. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? None is so fierce that dares stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? I like it when the Lord pats himself on the back. I like it. He's the one that's able to do it. That's not pride with him. That's just a fact. Old John Adams, the second president of the United States, said facts are stubborn things. You can't argue with the fact. You might get mad if I say the Lord can do anything, but you just have to get over that because He can.
Yeah, right.
The Lord said, you wouldn't dare stand before the devil, but what about me? You wouldn't dare to stir him up, but what about me? A lot of times we get lifted up in our pride, we'll stir him up.
Yeah.
It seems like we just sometimes point our fist in his face and say, I'm going to do things my way, thank you. But if the devil walked in your room tonight, you'd fall down on your face in fear. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, who can stand before him? But if nobody can stand before the devil, what about the Lord? You know, sometimes I think people fear the devil more than they fear the Lord. I think that's true. Don't worry, I'm not going to go into why I think that, but that's what I believe. None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? Who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. I'm glad when the Lord stands up for himself. He says, I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. The Lord said, I'll reveal him to you. Who can discover the face of his garment, or who can come to him with a double bridle? You can't put a bridle on the devil. Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. His scales are his pride. He's beautiful. You get over to the book of Revelation, you'll find out he's a red serpent. He's a dragon. He's got scales. His scales are his pride. Shut up together as with a close seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together. They cannot be sundered or put apart. That's what sundered means. By his kneesings a light doth shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lamps and sparks of fire. He's a fire-breathing dragon. Have you ever seen an alligator coming up the St. Mary's River with smoke coming out of his nose? The PhD fellas was wrong, wasn't they? His scales are his pride. Verse 20. Out of his nostrils goeth smoke, out of the seething pot or cauldron. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. In his neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. The flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves. They cannot be moved. His heart is as firm as a stone. If you're hard-hearted, you're playing with the devil. Yea, as hard as a piece of the nether millstone. When he raiseth up himself, the mighty are afraid. By reason of breakings, they purify themselves. The sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold. The spear, the dart, and the habergeon. He esteemeth iron as straw, and brass as rotten wood. That's why the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You can't go at the devil with a sword. You can't fight against the devil or the devil's things, the devil's ideas, the devil's aims, and the devil's goals. You can't fight against that with a sword. He esteems it as nothing. You can fight on your knees. You can fight down at the church house. You can fight on your face praying to God. You can fight with the Word of God open in your lap. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The arrow, verse 28, cannot make him flee. Sling stones are turned with him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. He laugheth at the shaking of a spear. Sharp stones are under him. He spreadeth sharp pointed things upon the mire. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh a path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be hoary. Upon earth there is not his like who is made without fear. He beholdeth all high things. He likes to see high things. He likes to see things that are high. That's why the Bible says
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Those high things that exalt themselves against God, it says. He beholdeth all high things. He is king over all the children of pride. If you got pride in your heart, you're following the devil. He's your king. The Lord looked at those religious men out there when He was ministering here on earth, and He said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your fathers you'll do." He's the king of pride. You know what false religion is? It's pride. You know what a lifted up hard heart is? It's pride. 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 A man that's... Listen, let me say this and I'll quit. A man that has pride in his heart is possessed of the devil. You know, we get an idea that's because you've been getting your theology off the television set. And you think possession of the devil means some kind of spirit gets in you and controls you like a little robot. You think that's possessed of the devil. You know, The Exorcist, it'll make you climb up on your head. No, so that's not what it means to be possessed by the devil. Being possessed of the devil means the devil has you in his possession. He has control of you. He has possession of you. He gets you by the neck and he'll lead you around where he wants you to go. He'll make you say the things he wants you to say. He'll make you do the things he wants you to do. He'll make your feet go in the places he wants you to walk. He'll make you sit down in the places you ought not sit. He's in possession. A man that's given his heart to pride is possessed of the devil. Some things will show up when a man is possessed of the devil. Nakedness, rage, depression, lack of earnest care. Have you ever found yourself lately just not caring? I just don't care. I'm sick of it. You ever caught yourself in such a case? I'm tired of trying. Better watch out. I've done everything till I'm blue in the face. I'm tired. That's what mamas usually say when they get tired of messing with knothead boys. I can understand that. But in the course of life, you catch yourself saying, "I'm done. I don't care no more." That's pride. That's pride. I understand the difficulties of life. I understand that everybody's got a breaking point. I understand it. But what I'm saying is, if you get these things mixed up together, rage, depression, a lack of earnest care, you get all those things, you're messing with the devil. And listen, this thing starts small. A little bitty seed of pride get planted. Next thing you know, you're bitter. Next thing you know, you're in a rage. Am I preaching to perfect people, or do you know what I'm talking about? Just a little bit of pride, and the next thing you're in a rage, and the next thing you don't care. Does that ring a bell with anybody? Does that ring a bell with anybody? It's dangerous. I'm telling you, it can happen to anybody sitting in this room tonight. Any one of us.
Amen.
But I got news for you. If you're a child of God, it's curable. If you're not a child of God, you can get cured by becoming a child of God.
Right.
Any man in this building, any woman in this building can get down on the altar tonight and say, "God, I'm tired of this old pride. I'm tired of this old self-worth. I'm tired of it, Lord. I'm tired of it." And the Lord will give you deliverance from it now. You get over there and you study about that maniac of Gadara. He was naked. He was in a rage. The Bible said no man could tame him. You know what that means? Mama come out there and say, "Now, son, don't you know you're hurting yourself out here? Don't you know this ain't no way to live, laying out here in the graveyard? Don't you know this ain't no way to go?" And he'd say, "Get off of me, Mama. Don't talk to me like that, Mama." You ever see anybody like that? You say, "Where did it start?" A little bitty seed of pride. A little bitty seed of pride. The Bible said that maniac of Gadara was naked. He was in a rage. He couldn't be tamed. The Bible said he cut himself, continually doing things to destroy his own life. All he's got to do is plant a little bitty seed. Little bitty seed, Brother Dave. And that thing will grow up and it'll kill you dead as a doornail.
Amen.
Both spiritually and physically.
Amen.
Pride. Pride. If pride comes from the devil, listen to me. If pride comes from the devil, the Bible says very clearly in John chapter 10, the devil, he said, "The wolf, the thief, cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." Heavenly Father, I thank You tonight for Your goodness, for Your mercy, and our hearts and lives. God, I pray You'd help us, God. There's not a person in this building, dear God, that's immune, dear God, to pride. There's not a person in this building tonight, dear God, that wouldn't benefit by searching their own life and examining their own life, myself included, dear God, and asking You to help us, Lord, to pull down pride out of our hearts, to pull down pride out of our lives. God, help us to this end. Give us victory over these things. Help us, dear God. Help us not to be controlled by the devil. We are bought with a price. Help us, dear God, not to have the devil in control of any aspect of our being, any aspect of our lives. God, help us is my prayer. God, help us is my plea. And I thank you for what you do. Would you come tonight? Would you come? Some are already here. Would you come tonight?